Could a potential narrative be forming that could put Christians in the spotlight and possibly in the crosshairs? Let's get after it on today's program.
When things are shifting, there's gonna be a new world order out there. We've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
What's going on, everyone? It is Monday, December 5th. This is End Time Headlines, and I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, I want to show you some headlines. Now, I want to take you back to the night of November 19th to Colorado Springs, where, if you remember, there was a shooting at a LGBTQ club. It was a very popular club there, in which a gunman opened fire, killing 5 and injuring 18, and then was taken down by 2 individuals. Following that incident, days later, vandals defaced a sign outside a local Christian ministry.
Colorado First Now in Colorado Springs, where vandals have spray painted over a church's sign just days after the Club Q shooting. It happened at Focus on the Family on Briargate. Now, someone wrote the words, "Their blood is on your hands. 5 lives taken." It had been covered with a tarp and some cardboard, but that tarp blew off. Police aren't sure who the vandals are.
Now, Focus on the Family is an evangelical organization founded in California in 1977. Its headquarters have been in Colorado Springs since 1991. The organization states on its website that it believes. Now, I want you to really pay attention to me today in this broadcast. Again, CBS 11 local affiliate highlights the organization's belief statement. And that is this, quote, "Marriage is between a man and a woman, and in 2014 spoke out against adding sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to non-discrimination laws, citing concerns about conflicts with religious liberties." Now, so again, so the narrative here that we see or we're getting that's forming here is the center of blame for this shooting that took place at this nightclub is this Christian organization because of their stance on the biblical definition of marriage. All right. So following that, the feds on November 30th sent out a warning that went to multiple local news affiliates, went national news, warning about, quote, potential further anti-Semitic, anti-LGBTQ violence.
The Department of Homeland Security has updated its terrorism advisory bulletin, drawing renewed attention to domestic terror threats.
DHS warns that LGBTQ, Jewish, and migrant communities are at a particularly high risk of being attacked by Americans with violent ideologies. The bulletin comes just weeks after the mass shooting at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs. NBC News Homeland Security correspondent Julia Ainsley joins us for more. So, Julia, good morning. How serious are these domestic threats compared to international threats? And how have attacks like the one in Colorado Springs fueled the fire, essentially?
Well, it's interesting. When you ask DHS officials and really any intelligence officials across the federal government how they're handling these threats, they don't say that they have taken their eye off the ball of foreign threats, but certainly what they call a persistent lethal threat is coming from Americans right here who have been radicalized oftentimes online by social media to target certain groups. And the groups that they're concerned about now, as you just laid out, include LGBTQ, Jewish community, as well as migrants. A lot lot of this is based on recent events. And unfortunately, what can happen sometimes is events, tragic events like the shooting in Colorado Springs, like what's been happening in the Jewish community, comments from people like Kanye West. Unfortunately, those can serve as a motivation for people who already have some extreme ideologies, and it can push them further toward violence. Another challenge they have is they can't go after free speech. It is okay to make hateful comments online. It's not okay to act violently. So oftentimes, it's a very thin sliver of time that federal law enforcement has to act before someone goes from racist thoughts to racist actions.
The bulletin mentions an enduring threat to the Jewish community. You just mentioned Kanye West, known now as Ye. I mean, is there any evidence that rhetoric that we've seen from high-profile figures like Ye is making the situation worse?
That's exactly the question that I asked these DHS officials yesterday when they put out this bulletin. And they said, without calling out Ye specifically or the former President Donald Trump, who recently met with Ye and someone who's known to be a white supremacist, they said, look, anytime a high-profile figure, whether that's a celebrity or someone who is in public office or used to be in public office, or in Trump's case now running again for public office, anytime they fuel that discourse, it doesn't do anything good. In fact, what they said is that traffics these conspiracy theories often that only fuel people to make to continue that language online and then possibly to act. So it does definitely concern them, Joe.
And who are the two groups that are being targeted? Jews and LGBT community, which again, it's all this is cupped into this lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community, right? Everybody follow along with me? All right, so we know, let's do a little bit of recap before we go on. We know that there was a shooting that targeted this classification of people. Number two, the vandals specifically targeted this Christian organization as the perpetrators or the ones who instigated the situation or the attack that took place at the gay bar in Colorado Springs. And the media ran with that. They made sure that everybody got that understanding. Then I want to take you to North Carolina. November 30th, this was a publication in which there was a drag event that was being hosted in Southern Pines, North Carolina. This was scheduled and received fierce backlash, but organizers said they are, quote, not backing down and the show must go on, quote. Downtown Divas, that was held on December 3rd at Sunrise Theater in Southern Pines, that was put on by Sand Hills Pride, said that they held four events like that in Southern Pines. The previous three were held in the Belvedere Plaza in downtown Southern Pines, and they also held a Kinky Boots watch party at the Sunrise Theater back in 2019. The event, hosted by Naomi Dix, who is a drag artist who had performed for over 8 years, who is based out of Durham, had performed all over North Carolina and outside of the state as well. The reaction to the Southern Pines event is familiar to Dix, according to the report. But Lauren Mathers of Sand Hills Pride said that the Southern Pines events attracted this level of backlash before. So again, this event attracted a lot of backlash. This is happening all over the place, not just North Carolina, but there's a lot of and again, remember what we were talking about at the beginning of this, the narrative. Conservatives, people of faith, anyone who stands against this, they are being targeted, labeled as people that are outspoken against it. The spotlight is going on them. Quote, let me just give you this article. Quote, Dick says that we are in the midst of a spike in pushback against queer people, especially drag performers from conservatives. But she adds that discrimination is not new and is unlikely to go away anytime soon. Quote, she believes that this backlash is a result of marginalized communities speaking out and standing up for themselves. The fight is never over, Dix said. The fight will only get stronger. Then we want to fast forward to a widespread power outage has just taken place in Moore County, North Carolina, that has left over 40,000 residents without power.
To North Carolina under a state of emergency tonight, and police say someone shot up power substations in Moore County, leaving thousands of people in the dark. The outage has forced schools to close tomorrow, and some families are heading to shelters. ABC's Rhiannon Ally has more now on the investigation.
45,000 customers suddenly lost power Saturday night, nearly all of Moore County. Police calling it criminal. The result of an intentional vandalism. The FBI has joined state and local officials in the investigation.
Evidence at the scene indicated that showed that the firearm had been used to disable the equipment.
Authorities say they are aware of online rumors that the attack was aimed at canceling a local drag show Saturday night in Moore County, but say they have yet to find any evidence linking the two. The drag show went on even after the lights went out. No individual or group has claimed responsibility. The county has declared a state of emergency and put in place a countywide curfew to keep people off the roads with no streetlights or traffic signals. Moore County Manager Wayne Vest said full power may not be restored to customers until Thursday due to the severity of the damage to the equipment at two substations.
This is unprecedented for Moore County. But we are strong and we are resilient.
The county of approximately 100,000 people is located about an hour's drive southwest of Raleigh.
Now, again, do y'all see? Again, I'm giving you all this information and putting it together. We're putting this together. Now, why am I talking about that? Let me go back to the Fed warning by Homeland Security. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to talk about a little bit about Kanye West and his recent controversial statements on the Alex Jones show that was, 2 hours long of these anti-Semitic rants that went on, because all this ties into this. Anti-Semitism and homophobia, quote, have both dominated recent news cycles, considering recent anti-Semitic remarks and attitudes from media and political figures. Howbeit, Kanye West, now this was before the Alex Jones incident. We cannot be ignorant to not be naive to think that they are especially talking about and using Kanye West as an example. When he came out and he made those statements that got all the fierce backlash, he went from a billionaire to a millionaire, lost endorsements, lost his contracts with Adidas. He was banned from Twitter, but then reinstated by Elon Musk, who reinstated him when he took over the social media platform. All this backlash came because he would fall into the, quote, media and political figures. Because remember, after all, Kanye West went and had dinner with Donald Trump, and Trump had dinner with him. And then there was other. So you have this media and political figures. They're bunching this up together. And then you had the fatal shooting that took place in Colorado Springs, in which there was at least one group shifted the blame to a Christian organization called Focus on the Family, whose headquarters was there, which was vandalized. So I want to show you this. Then we fast forward and we go to last week, when Kanye West went on the Alex Jones program and he made even more anti-Semitic comments, and even went as far as to repeatedly praise a certain German dictator and talk about how he loved him and he loved the Nazis. And following that, after revealing a certain anti-Semitic symbol on Twitter and bashing Elon Musk, he was once again banished from Twitter again.
A new firestorm of controversy for rapper Ye tonight after he spent hours online today praising Hitler and Nazis. Kanye West's anti-Semitic social media posts have once again gotten him suspended from Twitter. This latest suspension coming just 10 days after he was reinstated to the platform by Twitter owner Elon Musk. Earlier today, Ye, along with white nationalist Nick Fuentes, appeared on InfoWars with conspiracy theorist host Alex Jones. Wearing a full head covering, Ye went on what many are calling a deranged rant, making a number of outrageous anti-Semitic slurs, repeating the lie that the Holocaust never happened, and then praising Adolf Hitler.
I don't like the word evil next to Nazis. I think we need to look at...
Oh, my goodness. Just because you don't like one group doesn't mean the other. But look,
I love Jewish people, but I also love Nazis.
Oh, man.
After the firestorm of reaction to his comments, Ye posted this tweet that includes a photo of Elon Musk and the caption, "Let's always remember this as my final tweet." Musk later tweeting, "I tried my best. Despite that, he again violated our rule against incitement to violence. Account will be suspended."
But... watch this. Here's the part. And I'm not saying that wasn't bad, because it is. It's real bad. Just cringeworthy. If you watch the video, and I'm not going to pull up the video clips here. Trust me, other media outlets have done enough of that already, and I don't want to rehash all that. And you can go and you can find that somewhere else, and you can watch all the video clips of the stuff he said. This absolutely cringe. But you know... the real thing that made me cringe was the fact that he, the whole time he was there making these statements, he had a Bible in front of him on the camera that millions upon millions of people around the world was looking into the camera, because this has gone viral now, no doubt. All around the world, they're looking in the camera and they're seeing a masked man standing behind a desk in front of a Bible and him repeatedly taking time out during his anti-Semitic rants and his overwhelming love for a man that was responsible for the slaughtering millions of Jews. And as he took breaks from that, he began to quote Bible verses, talk about Jesus, talk about Christianity as if he was a representative of Christianity. Now, you've got to, again, I want you to get this. You've got to get this. They are this right here. When you're looking from an outside perspective, you just saw Christianity put in the spotlight, coupled with anti-Semitism, hate, violence, and all this other nonsense that does not represent true Christianity. And I don't think that is an accident. I don't think it's a coincidence. And I believe that, again, all this is painting a dangerous narrative. Now, it leads me to my last point. I want to talk about one more thing today, and we're going to close this today's podcast. Recently, the Senate passed a bipartisan legislation to protect same-sex marriages, and it was called an extraordinary sign of shifting national politics. And by the way, this came on the heels of an NBC News report that said, quote, same-sex households in the United States has just surpassed 1 million for the first time. The number of same-sex couple households in the United States has surpassed 1 million for the first time, according to recently released government data. There were more than 1.2 million same-sex couple households across the country as of 2021. That is an increase of up from 540,000 in 2008, which is an increase of 120%. This data was taken from the Census Bureau's annual American Community Survey. So this bill that just passed bipartisan legislation would ensure that same-sex and interracial marriages are enshrined in federal law, and it was approved 61-36, including the support from 12 Republicans. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said the legislation was a long time coming, and it's a march towards greater equality. Democrats are, according to CBN News, Democrats are moving quickly while the party still holds the majority in both chambers of Congress to send the bill to the House, and then they hope to President Joe Biden's desk. This bill has gained steady momentum since the Supreme Court's June decision that overturned the federal right to an abortion. The legislation would not force any state to allow same-sex couples to marry, but it would require states to recognize all marriages that were legal where they were performed and protect current same-sex unions. Quote, that's a stunning bipartisan endorsement and, quote, evidence of societal change. Wow. Now, this article from CBN News talked about how some Christian conservative voices have spoke out in regards to this. And they are sounding the alarm of what could be a dangerous road that we could be embarking on because of this legislation that could eventually be passed.
But religious freedom advocates say it would encourage lawsuits and spell disaster for churches and faith-based organizations.
This would essentially give a green light to those who want to persecute people of faith.
This deceptively named Respect for Marriage Act really disrespects the American people and threatens our most basic freedom.
The bill's champions, like Senate Leader Chuck Schumer, say it would protect marriage equality for all Americans.
It will make our country a better, fairer place to live.
Longtime LGBT supporters like Senator Tammy Baldwin say it protects gay Americans from a Supreme Court she believes wants to harm them.
The same legal arguments that the Supreme Court rested upon to reverse Roe versus Wade could just as easily be applied to reverse numerous other cases related to families, related to intimate relations.
Justice Clarence Thomas suggested that possibility in his concurring opinion, although the majority opinion rejected the idea. The 12 Senate Republicans supporting the bill maintain that it provides adequate religious liberty protections.
The bill also makes clear that no religious organization will be required to provide any services for the celebration of same-sex marriage. That means that no church or religious organization will be required to perform, recognize, or celebrate same-sex marriages. We also took steps to protect the tax-exempt status of religious nonprofit organizations.
While the Mormon Church supports the bill, many religious freedom advocates believe it would put people of faith and faith-based nonprofits at great risk. The Religious Freedom Institute warns it treats those who defend traditional marriage as bigots. Southern Baptists and Alliance Defending Freedom say it invites litigation.
Unless you comply with this, you can face lawsuits, you can face federal government action, you could even potentially lose your tax-exempt status.
And GOP senators like James Lankford believe its loopholes don't provide equal treatment for those of faith.
I believe the rights of every individual should be honored. But this is not choosing to be able to protect the rights of every individual. This is saying some people are more equal than others.
Then we have Franklin Graham, who also went to the Christian Post and warned that this was a, quote, deceptive smokescreen that would change the definition of marriage as between a man and a woman while not protecting those who hold a traditional view of marriage. He went on to say, quote, this could impact you, your family, your church, and our nation. He compared it to the Democrats' quote, so-called Inflation Reduction Act that, quote, did nothing but increase inflation and further hurt our economy. He said it is a dangerous legislation that would be used against individuals, churches, and organizations who honor traditional marriage. So let's put an end to this podcast today. Let me just say this. I hope I'm wrong, but it looks to me, when you start digging and you start researching and you start compiling all the news, the headlines, the stories, the incidences that are taking place, you can start seeing that, and from everything from the people that are speaking out against the drag queen performances, the drag queen story hours in schools and places of education, whether it be elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, conservatives, any conservative that speaks out against it, the spotlight goes right on them. Now you have violent acts taking place, what the feds have been warning about. And then again, the blame is being shifted towards Christian organizations that hold a traditional view on what the definition of marriage is from the Bible. Then you have people like Kanye West who, in the name of Christianity, is spewing rhetoric and just pouring gasoline on the fire. It just makes you wonder. I don't want to get too often of this, just for the fact that I want to be used wisdom here, but don't you think that's ironic that this man begins to spew all this stuff and there's a Bible right in front, everybody's looking right at a Bible, a man quoting scriptures in the name of anti-Semitism and hate. Gee, how convenient. Now we have a possible legislation, if passed, could indeed put religious organizations, nonprofits, churches, etc., in the crosshairs if they speak out against this, or if they refuse to serve an individual or individuals based on their religious preferences or their convictions, it will not hold any water. They will lose every single time. So friends, we are living in perilous times because, again, I hope I'm wrong, but it seems like to me that the narrative is building. And I'm going to go back to what I said, and I've said this over and over again. I will not be shocked that way out in the, and it could be, I hope it's way out in the future, and I hope it's not anytime soon, but the end game would be eventually one day this book, and you guys are listening by Apple and Spotify, I've got my hand on the Bible. This book will be the spotlight will be placed on this book because it will be the source and the blame for all these acts, the hate, the threats, the opposition, etc., etc. This will be the blame. This will be the focal point. So, you know, I remember the old timers used to say, there would come a day in the future before the coming of the Lord that the Bible would be banned. And we used to think that was crazy. And I remember some of you guys heard that from your grandparents and your grandparents and your mother and your father and generation after generation. And we thought that would be nuts. Now that's crazy. Now we could never see that in the night, especially in the United States of America. But now, friends, are you awake? Are you seeing what we're talking about? Can you see now how this could absolutely come to pass in our lifetime? Where this book will be banned, it will be banished, it will be outlawed, and it will be considered hate. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. But it, to me, all the writing is on the wall and it's terrifying. And let me just close with this because I don't want to have anybody misunderstand what I'm saying today. I do not support anti-Semitism. I do not support any kind of a hate. Now, when you got to define hate, though, here, because if I Listen, if I preach the word of God to you and I preach and teach and say what the word of God says and what the word of God defines as marriage and defines as an abomination, and I agree with that, that doesn't make me hateful. Now, on the other hand, I do not condone violent rhetoric, actions, threats, or any of that stuff, because a true Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian would not resort to that. We preach and teach in love, convicting souls of their sin so that they can repent and be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because my Bible says that God is long-suffering and wills that none perish, but all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I just want to make that known. I cringe when I see what happened with Kanye West, because it's giving Christianity a bad name. And it infuriates me, because if you're watching this and you're listening to this, he does not represent the Christianity of the Bible, just to let you know. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please download our free app. If you've not downloaded that yet, it's available on Apple. It's available on Spotify. It's free for your convenience. Push yes to push notifications so you can be notified of every headline and every podcast when it comes readily available. And it's new. It'll be right there in your hands to do so. Listen, if this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, it's a blessing to your family, and you'd like to support our ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do that in two different ways. You can give electronically. The easiest way is through the app. Go to the bottom to the right, where the heart is, where it says donate, just click right there, and it's going to take you to a page where you can give according to your heart and what the Lord places upon your heart. You can give by check or money order as well, and you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, and that's P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to be back on here tomorrow. Listen, this week we'll be on here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We'll be off Thursday, but we'll be back on Friday. So our schedule again, I know you guys like to keep up with what we're talking about. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday is where we'll be on this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about some shocking information that just came out regarding Walmart, and we want to talk about that. And then, again, we'll be back on here on Wednesday and Friday as well. And we've got a full lineup. We'll be talking about a lot of stuff, prophetic stuff, talking about stuff of our culture and so on and so forth. So don't forget to tune in. Listen, don't forget to hit the subscribe button, the like button. Follow us on YouTube, on Rumble. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're all over the place. And so we love you guys. We appreciate you and your support. So we're going to sign off for tonight. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow on Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.